HDN.
Well, hello and good Monday to you, Germany. Bit hungover, are you? As a country? As a people?
An entirely hungover nation this morning. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
I wonder if the old Nazi war criminals that took off to Argentina, if they'd be hoping for Germany or Argentina?
There's a good question.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll never know.
Oh, so already we're, my heavens, the 14th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but I always remember this date. This was my very first dog's birthday. Cannot remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. I have trouble remembering the birthdays of the dogs I have now, but Lord have mercy, I always remember that July the 14th was dearly departed lady's birthday.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
There are some weird things that I have in my brain that I just spew out every once in a while, but yet you're right, I can't remember important things. I don't know what my license plate number is on my car. I've only had it on there for 8-9 years.
Wow.
I have no idea.
But if somebody blurted out in the middle of a crowded Walmart, you could have no idea.
Yes, with the owner of the car with license plate number, blah, 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 like, blah. Like Charlie Brown's teacher. I just completely... But you want to know my phone number from when I lived in London, England, back in 1976?
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
444-9036.
The brain works in mysterious ways.
Yeah. And we lived at 9 Beresford House, Beresford Road, Finchley, London, N2-8AT.
Whoa. You even got the postal code.
Yeah.
Remember that time we were driving across the McKay Bridge?
Yeah.
And we saw a drunk driver or somebody we suspected was a drunk driver?
And I told the kids, I told everybody in the car, remember this license plate number because I will not remember it by the time I dial 911.
I know.
But Brahman still knows it.
I know. You call her up here right now and she could blurt out that license plate number like
But we better that. Not because in the first, if you're listening, it's like, yeah, we know. You were drunk like, what, 5 years ago? Wow, that's the brain is a crazy thing. Why are we going down this bizarre path?
I don't know. It was just something I thought of right off the top when I realized what the date was.
It is neat to think about things that you remember. If someone would play a commercial from your childhood, you'd be able to sing along.
In a heartbeat.
That type of thing. But yet when you say, I asked you this morning to take out the garbage, like, what? Right over my head. I don't remember that.
Something really cool to keep in mind if you are planning a fundraiser in the next little while. They had a pop-up drive-in theater on Friday night on Citadel Hill. They played the movie Grease on a big inflatable screen, and it was all in support of breast cancer. Dozens of cars lined up there. It looked like it was a really good time and very well attended.
Wait a sec. You see dozens of cars lined up there at the best of times. We said that should be a contest. Tell you what. Pop-up, inflatable, Grease, Citadel Hill, dozens of cars. Make your own sentence and send it in to jamieandlisa.ca.
Create your own story.
Some guy bought a screen and a projector?
Or
and
just, you know, rented the screen and did it as a fundraiser.
What a great idea.
It is. Really cool idea. Another interesting idea. Not sure how you feel about this because you, first of all, are a pizza connoisseur.
Mm-hmm.
But Pizza Town is now selling poutine pizza. So you've got your regular, looks to be your regular cheese pizza.
Yeah. With tomato sauce on it?
I'm guessing there's tomato sauce on the bottom.
Or
yeah.
Would it be gravy?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. But then on top of the cheese, you've got French fries sprinkled liberally, and then gravy. And then more cheese.
Now, you don't think that I would like that, but the fact is, you can put anything, as long as it's edible, on top of a pizza, and I would eat it, and I would like it. So, I mean, Boston Pizza's been doing that for years. They have a pierogi pizza where they have sliced potatoes and then sour cream and cheese and things on the top of it. So, poutine pizza, my heart might not enjoy it all that much, but I think I'd like it.
Well, we'll have to try it sometime. I think this is fairly new. I just saw pictures of this popping up on social media. But yeah, my first thought was, I'm thinking it might be a bit salty with the gravy and you know, the cheese and the fries, but...
And I wouldn't want it to have tomato sauce and gravy. That would be kind of weird.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. If you're, you know,
if you replace the tomato sauce with the gravy.
Yeah, you've got your base crust, and instead of putting tomato sauce on it, put some just very thin layer of gravy. And
now I'm getting hungry.
And then layer it from there, but...
You know what they used to have, and this is in Edmonton a million and a half years ago. It was Boston Pizza that actually had this. It was called the sombrero.
Okay.
And it was, it had ground, spiced ground beef, just like you'd have in a taco.
Right.
On the bottom, covered in cheese.
Mm-hmm.
They would put that in the oven, and when they took it out, they would cover it with shredded lettuce and serve it with a dollop of sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
So you could dip the pizza into the sour cream, but it was like a taco.
Yeah.
I have not seen that. I've seen Mexican pizzas and people trying to, you know, go that route. But this with the shredded lettuce on the top of it, I'm telling you, that was something extra special. So if you happen to be one of the 50,000 pizza places just in the lower Sackville area, you might want to try doing that.
Yeah.
Anybody else getting hungry? Or are we just kind of going on our own thing?
Anybody?
All right. Off the pizza. See, I can talk about pizza for years.
Speaking of Boston Pizza, I was down next door to Boston Pizza in Sackville on Saturday for the Sackville Business Association. They were celebrating their 10th anniversary, and they were also having the official grand opening of what is known as the Pocket Park. It's that little green space, a very just sort of very thin green space
between
along
Boston
the river.
Pizza and King and Donair.
That's right. A lot of folks came out, and there was sampling. A lot of businesses were there. Wasabi House was there sampling their sushi, and the mayor came to officially cut the ribbon. And so, a good time had by all, and very glad to have been a part of that on Saturday.
You know what else opened on the weekend? Beaver Bank Station. That's the new pub on Beaver Bank Road, right at the tracks. And I guess people were lined right down Wingate. And
The place was, it was packed. The parking lot was jammed. The side of the road down Wingate was jammed as well. So I have a feeling that this is going to go over well.
Hopefully it will.
Well, now, do I ever have a nomination for Douchebag of the Day?
Of the Week.
Okay, Douchebag of the Week. But this guy could take the cake. He could end up being Douchebag of the Year. This was a photograph that was tweeted by Brett Ruskin at Global News.
Mm-hmm.
It was a just married couple's car, complete with all of the little pom-pommy things decorating it and whatnot.
Sure.
Somebody gave them a friggin' parking ticket. Can you believe it?
Is that a real parking ticket?
That is a joke parking ticket. Nope, that is a real friggin' parking ticket.
Ebenezer Scrooge is alive and well and living in Halifax.
Unbelievable.
Does he think that somebody wanted to save a quarter so badly that he got pom-poms, put them all over the car, put just married all over it, and then parked it in front of a meter? Like, is the guy thinking, oh, you're trying to pull a fast one on me, aren't you? I mean, can you just cut people some slack? It's not like these people get married every single day.
Unreal.
Oh,
I think I'm going to put this on our Facebook page so you can have a look-see, because I just was left dumbfounded when I saw that.
And that's not the city police. That's something that's been contracted out.
Yeah, that's right. It's now a private contractor that does that kind of stuff.
Do they work on commission?
Because they're cut from every ticket that they write.
I'm telling you, they're standing there watching. As soon as that meter runs out, they just dash down there and write that ticket. It's just insane.
That happened to me years ago, back when I was going to university. I had parked my car in the lot that was next to the Rebecca Cohen. And I remember I had parked my car, fed the meter, and I was cutting it close. And I went back to my car with like about 1 minute, 2 minutes to spare.
Yeah.
And when I got back to the vehicle, there was a guy standing there. He had his ticket book open and he had started to write the ticket. He was standing there waiting
for it to click over.
For it to click over. And I just breezed right past him. I didn't say a word. Unlocked my door, got in, started the car, backed up and left.
I thought you were going to say, and then I ran right over the bastard. Oh, no, that would have been.
I thought about giving him the finger, but then I said, no. Because back then it was the police that were doing it.
You'd already written your license plate number down probably.
Yeah, I was not impressed with that experience at all.
Wow.
This is the story that came out over the weekend, and it looks like the Africville off-leash dog park saga continues.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the very first public meeting is going to be held on July the 23rd, 7 o'clock at the Maritime Hall, the Halifax Forum.
All right. Everybody get down. Every dog owner in the city, get down there. Let's speak our mind. Let's make sure that they make the next off-leash park a good one, that they have proper fencing, and that it's in a good location.
And this is our opportunity to tell the city what it is we want and don't want in a dog park. This is our only chance at public consultation before this moves forward. Next part of the story. Came out over the weekend that the city's refusal to immediately close the off-leash park has stirred up some indignation among some members of the community who say the decision reflects the city's continuing struggles to make amends with African Nova Scotians.
Now, you see, you know what bothers me about this whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think I would rant today, and I'm not going to rant, because the fact is, if you take a contrary position to the Africville Genealogical Society, you're immediately dubbed racist.
You are labeled.
The residents of Africville were treated badly in the 60s.
Absolutely.
Give them the land back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been far too long. But make sure we have a proper park with a fence set up first. The city agreed to that, and now there's complaining.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but just shut up. It's happening. It's happening.
Okay.
The city has said it's going to happen by the end of 2014, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. That is the date that they have set.
They close the park whenever the Africville reunion is on.
Correct.
They open up the gates. They say no dogs allowed. Mm-hmm. And they open the whole thing up. So I don't really know why there are these complaints.
Okay. I want to clear up something first of all.
Mm-hmm.
The park isn't being turned over to the Africville Genealogy Society. It is still going to be a city park. The only change is that is going to be decommissioned as an off-leash dog park. That's the only change. Now, once that happens, my understanding is that the Africville Genealogy Society is going to come in and they're going to establish, you know, walking paths, interpretive center, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to have control of that park. It is still going to be owned and operated by the city of Halifax.
Here's a question for you. Do you remember what that park was like before it became a dog park?
Absolutely. And I'm sure Halifax Regional Police remember what it was like as well.
I remember if you ever drove into that parking lot there for the dog park, because it was also a boat launch, it was littered with condoms, first of all, every single morning. And at night, that nice, dark, unlit park was the home of a lot of seedy activity.
It was a spot for cruising, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And you know, once it became a dog off-leash area, the traffic in that area picked up big time, so some of the seedier individuals that were making use of that area skedaddled out.
I have a feeling that once all the dog owners stop using it as an off-leash park, it's not all going to be sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows in that park.
Well, no, certainly there won't be as much traffic going through there. And if you have an area that is quite isolated, and let's face it, it is very isolated.
Yep.
It's off the main road. It's not very well lit. It's not lit at all, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so it definitely runs the risk of going back to what it was years ago.
Which was a place that people didn't go.
Correct.
Now, now the other thing that gets me is the city is proposing this spot of land right beside the old park, just a little further, you know.
Underneath the McKay Bridge, yes. On the other side of the boat launch, basically.
Yeah. And I suggest, I've said this before, I say just pick up stakes and move and put a dog park fenced somewhere else. Because I'll tell you what'll happen. If we move down there, then all of a sudden, there are going to be complaints that, well, actually, we want that land now as well.
Because
that was
is.
Part of Africville.
Absolutely.
And we want, and it's just not going to stop. So as a dog owner, I say, let's hightail it out of there.
Yeah.
And
yes, and you know, the quote from Irvin Carvery is, they don't seem to get it. You have to understand the history of Africville. There's a history of promises made and never kept. And that's why they're not impressed that there isn't an actual date for when this is going to take place, but to which I say, no, there is. They say by the end of 2014, this is going to happen.
No, he's just upset that we're not going to have the dog owners out of there with their off-leash privileges before the Africville reunion. That's what he's upset about. And I do believe he's on record as saying, when they asked him when he was going to stop protesting and complaining, he'd say never. The protest is ongoing. So he'll just find something else to protest when it comes to that park.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, you know, I don't want to move to another location temporarily.
Only to have to do it again 10 years from now.
Yeah. And here's a message to the to city council. Don't just speed it up because you're being pressured.
Barry Dalrymple, the counselor, he has already said, you know, doing this, relocating, decommissioning, establishing a new dog park within months jumps the queue for all kinds of other sports fields, recreation projects, and other things that were planned in the city.
Oh, I completely agree with that.
This is being fast-tracked.
Oh, no, I agree with that. But I don't want it to be fast-tracked so fast that the dog owners who want a safe, fenced-in, off-leash dog park all of a sudden get shoved somewhere that is not suitable for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking to a couple of dog owners today or over the weekend.
Yes.
And they were saying, you know what? They were looking at that new area. It's inaccessible. There are some seniors that like to go down and play with the dogs or whatever, and it's too steep. And there needs to be a lot of landscaping, and there are some serious problems with that area. So I don't want the city just all of a sudden to make that decision that that's where it is. And, oh, don't worry, we'll clean that up sometime in the future, because the future will never come.
Well, and that is definitely the risk. Because, I mean, let's face it, we're just having the first public consultation session on July the 23rd. This has been promised to be finished by December 31st. I don't think anybody is going to be happy by rushing this and finishing by December the 31st.
All right, that's it. I ranted. I wasn't going to.
I made you.
Yeah, well, anyway. Have a happy week, everybody. We'll be back here on Tuesday.
Until then.